In this webinar recording, I am going to be discussing the PESTEL analysis of the current UK situation. By PESTEL analysis, I mean from a marketing perspective, the kind of the macro considerations that all of us in business, be it small, medium or large, and whatever role, any kind of planning, decision making, marketing, communications or strategic role really does need to take account of the PESTEL situation. By that, we mean the political, economic, social, technological, environmental, and legal factors that go into making up the context and the mix of things that are really important for us to translate into meaningful concepts, meaningful situations, meaningful scenarios for our businesses. Now, of course, we can choose not to do this. We can choose to just simply focus on internal considerations, you know, how we've done things before. We might also look to what we call the micro environment, which is the situation around us. So our community, our sector, look at our competitors and the like. But for me, it's not until we get to the bigger picture that everything really starts to take shape. So I was having a conversation with Rob Keane recently, and this comes out of a an outcome, if you like, of that conversation, because we were talking about the importance of making sure that you do take a wider perspective when you're planning, be it a campaign, a product launch. And what Rob was looking at was something very, very specific for an element of the business. So they have an online e-commerce side of their business, and Rob was considering the various factors that go into some of the decision making as to really what to prioritize and focus on for that side of the business. And as we got talking, we realized that it was less about the nuts and bolts of the products on offer, the current pricing situation within the marketplace, and even down to kind of really focusing on customers. And actually, it was a bigger picture scenario that was starting to drive some of the decision making. So as we talked, I kind of realized that it's been a long time since I personally did a PESTEL analysis, political, economic, social, technological, legal, and environmental. And so I thought, well, wouldn't it be good to do a short podcast monologue, really, on how I view PESTEL analysis and kind of this positioning of macro, so big picture stuff. So by definition, this is stuff that will impact on your business or your organization, whether you like it or not, but it's nothing that you can really influence. So within the micro environment, so these are those considerations I mentioned earlier that are closer to home, closer to your organization, there can be a domino effect. So as you do things, that has an impact on the micro environment. Whereas with PESTEL, big picture, macro stuff, it doesn't. This is very much stuff that can impact you, but you can't impact it. So I thought, well, let's have a little play with this and really explore what right here, right now is out there in the PESTEL world, in this macro kind of situation that we all find ourselves in. And particularly now because of the impact of change. If you've been in business for any period of time, particularly this side, or the other side rather, of the various lockdowns we had all around the globe a couple of years ago, you will know that it's a very, very different environment that we're in right now. You know, there's obviously significant environmental factors that need to go into the mix of things that you talk about and think about within your business. There's a lot of both political and economic things that are impacting all of us now, either us as, you know, members of the public or us as business decision makers. So I thought it was really, really timely to kind of look at these things and then maybe just have a little play as to how these might impact on ourselves and on our organizations. So let's go through these one by one. So political stuff. Well, for me, certainly in the UK, there is still the impact of Brexit. I mean, the UK's exit from the European Union has certainly created a lot of uncertainty for businesses, particularly around trade and regulation, not only if you're exporting and importing products and services, but certainly within the territory as well. And of course, a lot of this can impact on our marketing strategies and actually how we navigate through what for many of us are kind of new rules and regulations. We can't do business as was. There is no business as usual. Everything has changed in the last couple of years. So it is about keeping abreast of the situation, looking at the government website, just looking for opportunities. You know, a lot of people kind of consider the Brexit legacy as being quite a negative impact on business. But for every negative, there is the flip side of the coin. So there are opportunities. Same in marketplaces, you know, for every sort of bear market, there's also bull market opportunities. So, you know, there's always a flip side if you can spot it. The trick, obviously, is to be able to spot it. Overall government policy making right now is certainly a big impact on all of us. And of course, this can affect our marketing and, you know, taxation on certain kinds of products. There can also be restrictions and opportunities for, you know, advertising and marketing in certain sectors. And of course, as we know, as the political tides, you know, ebb and flow, there will be certainly support for specific industries with grants. Funding with innovation and opportunities. There can be a lot of technological support and also kind of mentoring support. So it is about looking locally and doing a lot of searching for within your region what is the government offering right now. And of course, this comes and goes with the political tide. But right here, right now, there is a lot of support. There's a lot of stuff available as the government looks for ways of supporting business, but also supporting businesses that are looking outside of the box. So it is about really thinking if you're looking to innovate or pivot on what traditionally you've done, looking for where those kind of sources of support are, because there's a lot of stuff going on right now. You've just got to do some searching and spend some dedicated time to find it. Of course, for many of us, certainly if we're watching the media, the situation in Ukraine still is having a knock-on effect to international trade and also business confidence, really. And this is an ever-changing situation. Wherever you look, in whichever kind of media source that that serves you in terms of information, this is going to have a continued macro impact, particularly around supply chains and speed to market for many sectors. So whether or not you're a product or service business, you know, this stuff is important to keep, you know, in mind. You don't have to really obsess about it. It possibly is going to be on the periphery of your decision making. But if you are looking to do international trade, then this is a big ticket item. So knowing what is happening, knowing what's flowing, how that's impacting on, you know, currency conversion as you import and export, you know, just really keeping a grasp on the commercial aspects of, you know, the political situation. Coming on to the economy, as we move to the E of pestle, the first of the two E's, there's a lot of stuff in the economy right now that we all need to be considering. I mean, within the UK, you know, we've experienced over recent months higher inflation rates than for a very, very long time. And of course, this leads again to disruptions and unsettled kind of confidence levels in supply chains. There's also a very interesting dynamic in terms of, you know, what traditionally might be thought of as a labor shortage, so getting, you know, staff generally. But I think what is really impacting us potentially really positively right now is the whole idea of specialist support. Now, of course, we don't necessarily need to be looking locally for that specialist support to achieve growth, to be looking to grow our organizations, to, you know, bring new products and markets to market. We can be looking for, well, literally a global workforce here, because of course, with the upshot sort of recently in the growth in popularity of remote working, there is an opportunity for tapping into specialist services that may well not be in the country that you're residing in or the country that you're working in. So really very much thinking of international specialists to work remotely to serve the gaps that you have in your HR and your human resources. So again, thinking creatively, not using the old model of, oh, I've got that job vacancy, I need to recruit in the traditional sense. You know, maybe there are more creative ways of you know, plugging those gaps. And again, particularly if it's around specialist skills or gaps in knowledge that you have in your organization. You know, somebody somewhere in the world is going to be a specialist in what you need. So course, it's using platforms like LinkedIn and other social networks are available to kind of track these people down and then to attract them to working with you. Again, economics within business are very, very heavily affected right now on rising energy costs. So being really lean and mean with your cost base. So where possible, you know, looking at, you know, significant efficiencies through, you know, not having superfluous office space, for example, making sure that you're very, very fluid and flexible and precise with your stock holding, you know, particularly if you're in any kind of distribution model, making sure that you've only got just what you need to be able to serve customer, because of course all of this is going to be impacted by the rising energy costs for both heating and powering, you know, your spaces. So again, being very conscious of what's going on there. And of course, likewise, this could very easily impact on your customers' spending and you know, their decision making as well, be it a business or being a member of the public. So we've got to be very mindful of, you know, the scenarios and the changing dynamics of, you know, where our customers are viewing us from, because of course that might be, you know, significant impact into your strategies right here, right now. We are, though, according to some of the commentators, looking at some form of economic recovery. Things are not quite as bad as they could have been. And certainly some of the earlier forecasts, certainly coming through last year, were suggesting that we were going into, you know, quite a deep hole from which it would take some time to recover. But recent performance has not looked quite as bad in many sectors. So as we continue to recover from the pandemic, you know, we should see an increased, you know, confidence and hopefully level of spending and commitment from our customers, again, right across all industries. So you've got to kind of think, well, does this really apply as well to my industry? So then that's where you bring this kind of macro consideration down to a little bit more of a local level, and then just consider, how's this impacting on me? You know, how confident is my customer right now? Do I need to be more patient than I would normally be? Can I actually help them build the kind of the trust and the faith that now is a good time to engage, or now is a good time to purchase? You know, and actually, you know, giving them that experience that brings that with evidence to reality and to fruition. And of course, at the same time, this could create opportunities for businesses to market products and services, maybe in an innovative way. And of course, then, of course, there is the big, big, consciously obvious consideration of fuel and energy prices generally. So cost of living will inevitably continue to drive confidence up or down, depending on which way it is trending in any given moment. So therefore, that's likely to drive purchase considerations. You know, and probably, possibly, maybe driving more kind of product decisions and service decisions towards, you know, the best value purchase from the customer's perspective. Maybe lower cost, but not necessarily. You know, in these kinds of markets, you know, the sort of the unthinking or less mindful marketer or communicator might be thinking, and certainly salesperson might be thinking, well, you know, it's tough times, therefore we've got to drop our prices because, you know, everybody's going to be looking for a good deal. Not necessarily. Challenge that. You know, don't just take that as a fleeting sort of assumption. You know, challenge that. It could be that people are just looking for better value. They're not necessarily looking for a lower cost, but they probably are looking for a lower risk purchase or decision. So if you can fuel the confidence in the decision and then provide added value around that, you know, that may well be the way to, you know, achieve this. And of course, this may give an advantage to you competitively. So this could be something really quite interesting that could really go to serve, you know, the growth of your organization in what is, you know, potentially quite a difficult and challenging time. So, you know, that could be something to consider. That could be really quite interesting as a competitive opportunity. And I do think that really your organizations and businesses, commercial businesses that are currently looking to embrace things like circular economy and circular business principles, this might be that perfect storm. This could be that moment where, you know, moving to more kind of high value subscription models rather than just looking for sale after sale after sale, That kind of a principle could be strategically very, very much more attractive now. So think about circular business principles and that drive towards subscription. Can you create a subscription model for your customer that, keeps the cash flow nice and predictable, nice and steady? It doesn't require them to make snap decisions because they're kind of bought into a relationship with you. That could be a really productive, positive thing. So, yeah, maybe play with that as a concept. That leads kind of seamlessly into the S of Pestle in our macro considerations. These are the social factors. More generally, sort of, there is a demographic shift at the moment with the population's aging. And of course, it is. And we know that. Lots of the research will bore that out. This could affect your marketing strategies, particularly for products and services targeting younger customers. We do see a very conscious, very aware, very discriminatory, and very kind of opinionated emerging generation. And I say that in, fond terms, because I think this is for all the right reasons. The current emerging generation, Gen Z and the millennials, will both be critiquing your business for its credentials, its real credentials, not what you're saying, but actually what you're doing. So I think this is really the time for organizations who are authentic, transparent, and true. They're doing great stuff from a sustainability perspective, and I'll come on to that in a moment. But I think this is the time where brands that are really authentic and strong and have, spent quite some time strategically building intimate relationships with their customers. So there's value on both sides. So proper relationships, to me, those kinds of organizations are now going to really strive forward. And those who have just physically, put into practice sales, so they're just there to sell product and service. I mean, seriously, that is not the way that, from a social macro perspective, you can be anything sustainable. That is the, recipe for an organization to be, declining right here, right now. So I think honesty, transparency, truth, and building relationships with maybe a broader base of customer demographics is going to get quite interesting for a lot of us. Another social factor, which again, you probably don't need me to tell you this one, but health and wellness. No matter which way you look, organizations are now being tasked with how can you make my life better? And that's the customer telling you this, how can you make my life better? Can you make my time more effective and efficient with your product or service? Can you make me have a more enjoyable experience of what it is you provide? Can you give me some longevity? Can you give me great value so that I can reinvest back into my family, my friends, or my business? So health and wellness, well-being. I think any organization who is not really looking to optimize this, no matter what you do, you could be doing the most industrial, B2B focused product or service on the planet, and yet health and wellness is in the forefront of the mind of your target customer. So we're not necessarily just talking about, vegan eating, and we're not just necessarily talking about, health and nutrition. We're talking about every single sector needs to understand its impact on health and wellness. And again, an opportunity potentially to pivot if you're an organization that hasn't really looked at this at all. There's a big opportunity in that particular criteria. Diversity and inclusion is one of the hot topics, as we all know, in social factors at a macro level. I mean, consumers are increasingly becoming interested in supporting companies that, actively prioritize diversity and inclusion. We know this and have known this for many, many years, but right here, right now, companies that prioritize these values in their marketing could strike a competitive advantage. I think it was one of those kind of add-on things that was a nice to do a few years back, but right here, right now, it's an absolute must-have. So the question isn't kind of, are you doing it? The question is, what are you doing? Because again, emerging generation is looking for you to take a proactive stance and not only talk about it and say you're going to do it, but actually do it. So make sure that, it is very much an active part of what you're doing. The next one on our macro pestle analysis here, just generally what's going on right here, right now, is the technology around us and evolving. You know, every day we seem to be hearing more about the metaverse, we seem to be hearing more about AI, and of course there's a lot of marketing related AI that seems to be coming to the fore right now. So what are the kind of technological factors that we need to be thinking about? Well, there is a digital transformation going on. Again, you have a choice. You can bury your head in the sand, but it's here. You know, this is not future stuff. I think a lot of people in business think, oh yeah, that'll be for next year. I can just kind of sit and wait and see what happens. There is an opportunity here. If you spend some really mindful time reflecting, collaborating, talking, strategizing, and innovating with your team, you have an opportunity here to really embrace digital transformation. You know, the last few years really have accelerated the shift to digital. And of course, this has already impacted on our internal and external marketing strategies. And I think going forward, any organization and commercial company that prioritizes digital marketing, e-commerce, emerging AR, augmented reality, VR, virtual reality, and also XR, extended reality environments, I will predict here, and I'll state it again, and I've done this many times, those kinds of organizations will have a competitive advantage almost off the blocks. I mean, seriously, off the blocks. This stuff's here now. It is just a case of researching it, finding out what might kind of be a quick win for you, and then getting in and testing and playing and making it happen. This is not for tomorrow. This is here today. Big one, metaverse. I'll talk about in just a second. There's also a growing debate around, as these kind of technologies start to evolve, around data and privacy. I mean, it's been here for a few decades now, but as the data privacy laws start to become more and more strict, these, of course, will affect our marketing strategies and anything that relies on our customer data. Now, we've got quite a few things happening this year in terms of cookie consent and third-party cookies and data handling, and it's going to get around the middle of this year really quite tense, I think, for organizations who have denied that this is coming, because there will be a lot of changes afoot, both in terms of how we can hold data, but also how we can manipulate and use that data within our marketing and communications. So the trick here is to keep one eye really on data privacy and the importance of prioritizing data within your marketing planning. Obviously, you know, good, well-managed data can really build customer trust and loyalty. And I think especially those who are embracing emerging technologies and trying, even if it's just being on a journey, you don't have to have necessarily figured this out fully, but trying to embrace the changing technical environments of metaverse, crypto, blockchain, and all those services that are enabled, you know, by these emerging technologies, and then figuring out how data privacy, data holding, and just a really good way of, you know, wholesome way of doing business can blend with those emerging technologies so that you continuously do the right thing by your customer, for your company, and also by your customer. That's a really important blend here. And it's okay, in my view, to be sharing the journey. You don't have to necessarily say that because, you know, I know, customer, you want to hear me say it's all perfect, but actually, I have to be honest, this is actually something that we are working on. We are doing our very best to make sure that your data is secure, that we're holding it, you know, in an appropriate way, and that we'll use it to enable even better quality and higher value products and services and engagement with you going forward. You know, we are on a journey of doing this. We're committed to it. Here's what we're doing right now. We're not perfect. We have not figured this out fully, but, you know, keep close to us and we'll keep you posted as to how we're evolving this. Now, if you were to be contacted by a company who was honestly telling you that, my betting is you would actually trust them more than what you might term is sort of data wash or data greenwash, where you really don't trust what they're telling you, or you don't really trust what they're saying. So to me, that's really, really important. So when it comes to data and privacy and data holding and all the changes we're going to go through this year, I think about being authentic and honest with, you know, the situation that you're in, but your plans for improvement, I think, is the way to go. And this seamlessly leads me into the big one that's on my radar right now, from a marketing, sales, product development, customer communication, service enablement perspective, is this word metaverse. Although we should probably say metaverses, there is no one metaverse, even though Facebook, as was, would like you to think Meta is the only one. This is not me disrespecting Meta, but there are many metaverses. And the trick here, whilst it's still in its embryonic phase, it is now actually figuring out how you can open up innovative and unprecedented extended reality for your products and services in a new environment. And really, this should be on every marketer's radar now when planning marketing strategy, not only for the medium to long term, but for today. What are you going to do today to embrace the metaverse for your products and services, to do something a little bit different, to add value when your customer persona needs something from you, and it just isn't quite convenient to be doing it in the real world, either because of physical location, of geographic distance away from them, or just because it's more efficient and comfortable to serve that particular question or query in an extended reality environment than it is to do it face to face. So there could be a lot of efficiencies and gains like that. There could be some real competitive edge as you start to do product launches, maybe in the metaverse, where you're showcasing, exciting new things in an exciting and new way. So let's not rest on our laurels and assume that events, exhibitions, product launches, customer interaction is always going to be as it has always been. Let's embrace and go and explore and test out the metaverse. And not everything is going to work for you. Not everything is going to be appropriate. Some of it is a little bit clunky still, but a lot of it could actually open up some really exciting opportunities. The trick is to just get in there and start. Next one on our pestle, we're nearly there, it's two to go, is legal factors. Now, there's a lot of regulatory stuff that's going around right now in terms of advertising, including obviously rules around misleading or false advertising and restrictions on advertising, obviously, certain products. So, as a marketer or communicator or salesperson, you just need to keep your finger on the pulse with that one. Organizations who are navigating these regulations in their marketing strategies will win. So keeping a view on, what should and could we be doing and what might we be able to do to really not just add to the chaos and noise in, say, social media, for example, but actually try and really, really advocate and evangelize cut through. So in other words, cut through all of that noise with some really kind of, high level, really, really good practice kind of messaging. And do it in a really appropriate way that ticks all the boxes of the regulators within your industry. So that could be your trade associations, that could be the way that a lot of your influencers or micro-influencers talk and communicate. Doing things in an appropriate way is really important this year. And of course, that leads on to things like IP, intellectual property. Intellectual property laws are constantly changing. They're always strengthening. So just knowing the impact of IP within your marketing strategies. And as we all move to, video and sort of very, very high level graphic communications as well as words, we need to be very, very mindful of who owns the rights to this video, who owns the rights to this imagery or this particular design. This is something that is now, as we move into things like the metaverse, going to be, really up for debate. Who owns that particular design or that particular piece of software? Can we, should we, could we get permission for using these particular assets or these particular styles or designs? We need to know where the IP lies, really, for all of these things that we use. And do not make assumptions. You will become stung at some point, if not today, in the future, if you start to contravene some of these IP legal regulations and principles that really should be at the core of all the decisions that we're making. And of course, with emerging technologies that we've been talking about, there with a proliferation of new tech, AI, virtual worlds, there is obviously a need to create, in what is otherwise going to be uncharted territory, some really, really strong policies and guidelines for everyone in your organization around data and privacy and brand guidelines and social media rules, so that you can confidently know that everybody in your organization understands what you could and should be doing with all the information and communications that you do. So there's a really nice, you know, confident consistency in everything that you communicate as a business. And then finally, the big one right here, right now, for many of us is our consideration of the environment in its broadest sense. You know, I'm going to look at here briefly climate change, carbon footprint, and sustainability, and the kind of support that's potentially available to you. So if we begin with climate change, I mean, knowing that, you know, customers are increasingly concerned about the impact of purchase decisions, their personal impact on climate change and environmental issues, all of these things need to come into our thinking. We shouldn't be making ever now decisions around particular product launches or the particular categories that we are active in, or the way that we put portfolios of solutions together of products and services without thinking about climate. And by climate, I mean it in its broadest sense. You know, is this doing things for a higher, good, authentic purpose, or are we just doing this to make money? If it's the latter, we need to really question what we're doing, because there's an opportunity here for doing the right thing for the right reasons, not just continually doing business in the old marketing paradigm to make money for shareholder satisfaction. There is something more going on here. So companies that are going to prioritize this stuff, the sustainability and environmental responsibility in their marketing, almost certainly, I would argue, could have a competitive advantage. And this does not mean that we're now going into, well, back in the day, we used to go into price wars and try and get best price for our customers. And then that would obviously erode the value of the whole market as we try to do that to get competitive advantage. I'm not saying that we should be using climate for competitive advantage, because then we potentially are going to be entering into a greenwashing war, where, you know, my claim is bolder than your claim to make me sound good, but actually it's not entirely true, and then you're going to do the same to kind of counteract me, and so we get into this kind of, you know, climate battle over the claims that we're making, and then both of us, without realizing it, are then starting to greenwash. So that is not what we're saying here. What we're saying is, if you can actually prioritize sustainability and environmental responsibility within your current processes, within your products that you serve, within the services that you offer, and within your overall processes as running a commercial business, it's those kinds of things then that could give you competitive advantage. And I'd always lead people to my not-for-profit, which is mindfulcollective.net, to be able to use some of the models in there. We've got a sustainable marketing index tool in there that you can use to have a little play with where you are currently and where you'd like to get to. And that should hopefully within your organization open up a whole range of conversations and debates as to, you know, what can we do in the short term, but where's the advantage in the longer term too? And you can kind of get those conversations going around this indexing tool. So head over to mindfulcollective.net if that sounds of interest to you. Second one on our list is carbon footprint. When we talk about the environment, we have all, as you know, a global community now, well, many of us, most of us, hopefully now, committed to reducing carbon footprint, both in our communities, in our households, and particularly in our businesses. And of course, this is going to lead to, you know, tighter regulations around marketing practices that will contribute to hopefully a positive sort of, you know, trend in our carbon emissions. But for me as a marketer, I think for me, it is very much about becoming just more carbon literate. You can go to the Carbon Literacy Project website and understand some of the things that you can do there. You can become carbon literate in terms of carbon literacy training. I've personally done that, and it was a very, very valuable exercise and uncovered for me not only a whole range of gaps in my knowledge and understanding, but also a whole range of things that you can commit to, both as an individual but also on behalf of your business, so that you can start to then put in some measurable goals to improve your carbon footprint. And again, organisations that prioritise this within their marketing should be better placed, better positioned to navigate these changes, which are happening anyway. So far better to be proactive in your activities for supporting that than just kind of playing catch up, because that's going to probably, one, get expensive, two, it's not very timely, and three, well, if your competitors get to the customers beforehand, before you're ready to even start doing it and start communicating it, well, you're going to be facing a significant uphill battle. And then, of course, more generally, just thinking about the overall kind of increasing and recent upsurge in support networks and services to support businesses in their sustainability journey. You only have to search locally, but you can search nationally and you can search for online tools as well. So I've mentioned Mindful Collective. There are a lot of other services available. And I think now these kind of supportive networks typically are starting to form a real kind of bedrock of the foundations of a step-by-step journey to carbon neutrality. In other words, they will help you, because you may not be a carbon or sustainability specialist. And if you're not, you probably do need to surround yourself with mentors and coaches and experts who can really guide you on that journey. And of course, it isn't just about the processes and products. It is as well, at the same time, attending to the human-centric element of people, culture and behaviours, because it's through those kind of considerations that net zero targets will be met. We've got to get people on side. We've got to change the culture within our business if it's not aligned to a sustainability attitude. And we've also got to get the behaviours. It's all very well planning this strategically, but if you're not going to do anything about it, nothing's going to change. So it is about being proactive, and it's exciting. I think, you know, for a marketer, there's so many things. And, you know, I've gone through here six elements of the PESTEL macro analysis here, and we've uncovered a whole host of things, from climate to technology to metaverse to the economic opportunities right now. It is about just considering these things, maybe re-listening to this, taking a few notes and thinking, okay, so how do each of these things apply to me here, right now, in my business, in the sector that I'm in? And then translating what you hear with these kind of big ticket items, the big picture considerations, right the way down into tangible activity that you can do day to day. Because for me, going forward this year, it is this mix of political, economic, social, environmental, technological and legal factors that are going to help us to really prioritise the right stuff. And probably it will be a mixture of things like sustainability, like metaverse, like data and privacy, like diversity and inclusion. And of course, all of those really innovative improvements to digital marketing customer experiences that are going to allow us to really better position our businesses to succeed in what is and what will continue to be a very, very fast changing and ever changing market environment. So I hope that's been useful for you. Just to paint the picture, thanks to Rob for the inspiration again, and paint the picture of the broader kind of view of the marketing environment that we're all operating in. And it doesn't matter whether you're here in the UK, where I am, or anywhere in the world, a lot of these things, a lot of these concepts will still apply. The trick then is to drill down deeply into your current situation, where you are, wherever you happen to be, and then figure out how these things translate into activities that you can inform your organization for and with, and then start to act on some really great high priority strategic decisions. So I wish you luck. I hope this has been helpful, and I look forward to sharing more on a lot of these topics as we go forward on this podcast.